Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
The schedule is out. Let's break it down on this episode of Locked On Pelicans. I'm Brett Dawson.
Warriors, the defending NBA champions, facing Anthony Davis and his New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, those were heady times. Remember that? The Golden State Warriors were the defending champions. The Pelicans were playing them on opening night, on ring night in Oakland. Seems like kind of a long time ago, right? I'm Brett Dawson. I cover those Pelicans for the New Orleans Advocate, and this is Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And we're here to talk about the Pelican schedule. No guest this week. We'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, I wanted to remind you of last year's schedule, of the big opening night, Christmas Day in Miami. You know, some big-time stuff, 13 scheduled national TV games. The Pelicans were riding pretty high this time a year ago when the schedule came out, and the NBA had a great sense of that. You could tell by the way they scheduled the Pelicans, and that has changed quite a bit. So we're going to break that down. It's going to be me talking at you for the most part for today. And again, I'll explain some of that in just a little bit. But there is a lot of news of the day beyond just the schedule. Not a lot, but there's some news of the day beyond the schedule. So let's jump into that. Then I'll make some announcements, and then we'll get into the schedule talk. How about that? First is that news of the day, and that centers on some guys who the Pelicans have invited to camp. And I know what you're thinking, based on what you said to me on Twitter, a lot of you, which is, why are the Pelicans bringing in camp invites? Why are they going to sign non-guaranteed guys when they have 15 contracts? Well, we'll get into that in just a minute. Let's tell you who they are first. Sean Dawson, a guard from Israel, whose father was an American player, grew up in Israel, and he's been playing for an Israeli team in the Israeli league. Highly thought of player, played with the Washington Wizards in the summer league. You know, I don't know that he's going to make an NBA team this fall, but he is a guy who is considered a prospect at the very least. Chris Copeland, who has played for the Knicks and the Pacers and spent a little time in Milwaukee. He's a guy who he's a guy who's had an NBA career. I think his best scoring season was his rookie year in New York. He averaged a little under 9 points a game. You know, he's a pro. He's a professional NBA player. He's a guy who, you know, he's going to try to latch on with the team, and the Pelicans will be a place where he will try to showcase some stuff this fall in the preseason and in training camp. And then finally, Robert Sacre, who has played exclusively for the Lakers. You probably know him mostly as the bench celebration guy in Los Angeles, but has had a couple of decent years when he's played some minutes. He hasn't played a whole lot. 7 foot, big guy, born in Baton Rouge. His parents were both former LSU athletes, so got some ties to the area. That's a guy who, again, you know, he's trying to make a team, and he will try to showcase himself for the Pelicans and see what he can do in terms of, I think, proving himself to some other teams. Now, we talked about this just a second ago. They've got 15 guys under contract, the Pelicans do, and those guys are guaranteed, and most of those guys are going to make the team. Those guys are going to make the team. I mean, I think that's going to be the roster, barring some real surprise in terms of waiving a guy, you know, if it didn't work out with Alonzo G or Terrence Jones, but I don't see that happening in either scenario. I think the team that they have is the team that they're going to have, but that's 15 guys. Your offseason roster can be 20, so they can add a few more if they want to, a couple more if they want to, going into camp. It makes sense to go into camp with more guys than you're going to need. Remember, one of those 15 guys is Tyreke Evans, who we don't expect to be healthy at the start, based on what Alvin Gentry has said. One of them is Quincy Pondexter, who we don't really know about. We just don't know where he is physically and what he's going to be able to do. And so, from a rotation standpoint, a practice bodies standpoint, this is not at all unusual to add some pieces, even though you have a full roster and you think you have your roster. These guys will probably get to play some, you know, inner squad at the very least, but, you know, maybe some preseason games, get a look at them. You know, if there's some injury situations and the Pelicans need to bring an extra guy into the season, maybe one of these guys has a shot. If not, you know, maybe they have a chance with another team, but not an unusual thing to be doing this. You know, I had some people ask today what that meant for some of the guys on the roster. It doesn't mean anything. This doesn't mean they're going to cut Cheick Diallo, you know, none of that. It's this is just a, you know, it's standard operating procedure to bring in some extra guys on non-guaranteed contracts. And those are the three guys, according to a source, very close to the Pelicans that are going to be there. So, that isn't necessarily all, but I think that's it. I think those are the only three guys they'll bring in. That can change, of course, as I always tell you with any news, anything can change. But right now, those are the three guys that the Pelicans will be bringing in. And that was the news of the day, essentially, except for the schedule, which we're going to get into here in just a second. You know, we're out of our daily podcast routine, so you don't hear me every day reminding you to go check out theadvocate.com. And so you might not be thinking about it all the time. So I'm here to remind you again that you do want to check out theadvocate.com. It's your place for all the best coverage of New Orleans and Baton Rouge sports. All my coverage of the Pelicans. You can see a bunch of schedule breakdown stuff if you go to the website on Friday, or you could pick up The Advocate, the printed paper. Love that too. You know, the other thing right now, the Pelicans are slowing down. There's not a whole lot of news. But football is in full swing. We've got LSU reports. The Saints are really going. They had a preseason game on Thursday. I don't know what happened, but you know where you could find out? TheAdvocate.com. So definitely go and check that out. Also, if you want to know what was going on with the Saints, a really good way to find out about that is to subscribe to Locked On Saints. It's part of the same Locked On podcast network. Nick Underhill, Joel Erickson, Adam West. It's great stuff. You're going to get daily updates during the season on the Saints. You get all kinds of insight, information, news. Maybe they'll talk about the media game that our guys did not participate in, where the New Orleans media beat up on the New England media over the week, during the week. That was big news. Maybe that's going to be on the podcast. Whatever it is, if it's Saints, you're going to find it there. Subscribe to that. Subscribe to this podcast. Go to iTunes. Go to Stitcher. Press that subscribe button and rate us and review us. 5-star ratings are great. I love positive reviews. Just gives us a little bit of boost to get some more listeners, and we definitely want this in some more ears. So if you could help me out on that, greatly appreciate it. Also, if you have questions, things you'd like me to answer on the podcast, or if you'd like to advertise, you can email me at lockedonpelicans@gmail.com. And with that, let's dive into some schedule talk. So I know what you're thinking about this schedule thing. You're thinking, you know, you've only got to do one podcast a week, Dawson. It's your slow season. Things are easing up for you. You could have gotten a guest. You could have gotten a guest and wowed us with the kind of long-form interview brilliance that we've come to know and love from you, because you're one of the great long-form interviewers of the modern age, or something like that. You're thinking something along those lines, and I appreciate that. I thank you for saying so. But here's the thing. I am moving out of an apartment right now in Kenner, brah, and I don't actually have a new apartment yet. So all my stuff is going into storage. I'm packing everything up. I have a couple different work things going on right now. So it's been crazy hectic. That is more of a window into my life than you really want right now, I'm sure. But I do intend to get guests this offseason. I really have talked to some people and lined a couple of things up. And the problem this week was the NBA schedule was coming out. I didn't want to record a podcast until after the schedule was in hand. And here's the thing. When the NBA schedule comes out, a lot of people who cover the NBA are really busy. And so it was hard to line up anybody who could do anything on Thursday, which was the one night I could do it, because of the situation with my movers and all that kind of stuff. So very complicated, but you're stuck with me. That's the thing. And so I thought, because you were stuck with me, I would get a little organized and I'd give you some significant thoughts about the schedule. Not significant. My thoughts aren't that significant. But I thought what I would do is break down the schedule a little bit by best games, talk about some of the highlights, some of the lowlights, and also some of the general view of the Pelicans. And that's what I kind of wanted to start off with, was what I alluded to at the beginning of the show. If you look at this schedule, the opinion of the Pelicans has changed dramatically in a year, and it's understandable why. You know, this time a year ago, coming off 45 wins, a first-round playoff loss to the Warriors, you've got a team who I think the NBA, people around the league, really looked at as on the rise. This was a team that I think people thought was going to be in the playoffs. You know, when I came down here last fall, I certainly thought I was coming to cover a playoff team. I think most people expected that they would take a step forward. And then, of course, you know, all the injuries happened. The season got off to such a bad start, the 1-11 start. Everything just kind of started bad and got worse. And it just never was meant to be. The Pelicans were effectively out of the race after 3 weeks. And, you know, just never really heard from again. They got a couple of their national TV dates taken away. They won 30 games. They were in the lottery. We all know this. And so, you know, there's a very different opinion. I talked to somebody today who's very familiar with the way the league schedules. This is not somebody with the Pelicans, just an outside person. And, you know, he said, look, the fact of the matter is the NBA builds its schedule based on, you know, a little bit of what's projected and a lot of what happened last year. And the Pelicans, you know, they crashed and burned last year was the way he put it. And the way they crashed and burned is what cost them in this schedule. And so you don't see them getting the same kind of exposure. You've got four ESPN games. You have one TNT game, which is on a new night for TNT, a Monday night thing that they're doing, a doubleheader. So not even the traditional Thursday night TNT game the whole season. There's no ABC game. There's no Christmas Day game. They do get an NBA TV game on Martin Luther King Day. So that's one of the league's kind of showcase days, and they play on that one. They get a good game early in the week, early in the season, the first week of the season against Golden State. And we'll get into some of those games, some of the specific games and some things to look for here in a few minutes. But, you know, the really telling thing about the schedule is, you know, when I had Tim Bontemps from the Washington Post on a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this being a mystery team, and that's what it is. It's a team that I don't think people have a great feel for, but this schedule tells you that the NBA doesn't have a great sense that this is going to be an exciting team or a team that people are going to want to watch. Now, as I said, the Pelicans got flexed out of a couple of games last year, late in the season, and so that could happen. By the way, they've only got five, but they still could get flexed out. They play a TV game the last day of the season, their last game of the season, against Portland. That could be a game that gets swapped out if they're not in the playoff picture, but they also could get moved into some games. So, you know, they unlike last year, they're very much flying under the radar. That's not a flight pun with the bird mascot. Just that they're, you know, they're a team that is not going to have a whole lot of expectation going into the season. They're a team that could surprise people at the end. And if they do, the TV schedule will reflect that. They'll show up a little bit more because that's an option. They'll be on NBA TV a lot, but you're just not going to see them on those national TV games. I think it's eight NBA TV games, but only five of the others and none on ABC. That said, still some pretty good stuff. So let's get into the top games on the schedule. Let's look at the five games that sort of jump off the schedule at you, and they're sort of the must-see games, either because they're great opponents or because maybe they'll tell us a little something about the Pelicans or there's a great storyline there. We're going to do these in the order that they're going to happen, and you don't have to wait very long for the first one. You know, 2 days after the Pelicans open the season, and they open the season at home this year against Denver, 2 days later, October 28th, at the Smoothie King Center, that's the game where it feels like the Pelicans are still a big deal. They host the Golden State Warriors. That is Kevin Durant's first road game with Golden State. That's going to be a very, very exciting weekend in New Orleans because not only are the Warriors coming in, they're the NBA title favorites. The Saints have a game on Sunday at home against the Seahawks, so it's a big sports weekend. It's also Halloween weekend, which means it's Voodoo Fest. You've got The Weeknd, you got Arcade Fire, Band of Horses, Cage the Elephant, lots of great bands. It's a really, really exciting weekend. It's going to be a great party weekend in New Orleans, and what better to add to that scene than the Warriors coming in? It's going to be only their second game, so you're going to get a really early look at the Warriors, what kind of team they are with Kevin Durant. That's going to be really, really fun. Obviously, the Warriors pretty much demolished the Pelicans every time they played last year, handled them pretty comfortably in the playoffs the year before, sweeping them out of the playoffs. So you get a little bit of a sense of early on maybe where this team is defensively, this Pelicans team, which I think is obviously going to have a setback offensively. But maybe, as we've talked about a whole bunch this offseason, maybe is going to have a chance to be a better system team offensively and then a much improved defensive team. It's a great test, obviously, the second game of the season to get Golden State. So that's one, obviously, it's the first game that really jumps out at you on the schedule. So the second one of these games that really jumped out at me, just looking at the schedule, November 23rd, I didn't just pick the ESPN games, but this is also an ESPN game, and that's a home game against Minnesota. That's the Timberwolves. It is the first meeting of the season between the Timberwolves and the Pelicans, which means the first meeting of the season between Anthony Davis and Karl-Anthony Towns. And as we've talked about on this podcast a lot, I think that's going to be a rivalry that people talk a lot about. I know that it's a rivalry that those two guys get excited for. Anthony Davis outplayed Towns for the most part in the two games that they played last season. Towns dominated the Pelicans in the two games that Davis didn't play against the Timberwolves. But that's obviously I think ESPN sees the appeal in that as well. To have that game be one of only five national appearances for the Pelicans, that's a team, Minnesota has kind of taken their spot, I think, in a lot of ways in terms of their scheduling prominence. Minnesota gets a Christmas Day game in Oklahoma City. So that's a really good opportunity, I think, for Anthony Davis, who I think, whether he would ever say so or not, and he probably wouldn't, wants to outplay Karl Anthony Towns. There's that Kentucky connection. He's the older guy. He was coming off a great year last year and ended up having what was a very good year, and I think in some ways has been compared unfavorably to Towns by a lot of people. And I understand the argument of taking Towns over Davis, but I think it probably motivates Davis a little bit to have games against that guy. So I think that is a game that you want to keep an eye on every time they play, and they play three times. That's definitely something to see. But certainly that first game, being a nationally televised game here in New Orleans, that's going to be one to watch. December 16th. Is the next game that kind of jumped out in my, as I was looking through the schedule. That's in Houston. That's the first look the Pelicans will get at the Rockets. Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, Mike D'Antoni, a lot of familiar faces. Obviously two guys in Gordon and Anderson who played 5 and 4 years here in New Orleans and signed with the Rockets in free agency. Mike D'Antoni, who was Alvin Gentry's boss in Phoenix and whose offense the Pelicans are running a variation of. That's going to be exciting every time they get together. It's a long time until those guys come to New Orleans for the first time. And so this will be the first chance for Pelicans fans to see them, see those familiar faces go up against New Orleans. And that's also a game that I think, is going to say a lot about relatively early in the season about where the Pelicans are. If you want to be a playoff contender, these are games that are going to be very important. Games like a road game in Houston in December, those games matter. So many times last year, the Pelicans lost games in November and December and said, it's such a long season. We've got so much time, but time gets away from you fast. And so you got to win as many of these games as you can. And Houston, I think, is going to be one of those teams that the Pelicans are going to be competing with at the bottom of the playoff picture, trying to get in. Every little bit counts against teams like that. And so I think that game in December is significant. 1 month later, January 16th, the Pelicans don't have a lot of showcase games. They're not playing on opening night. They're not playing on Christmas, but they are playing January 16th, which is Martin Luther King Day. That's a 3 p.m. Central game. So that's a prominent position. It's on NBA TV. That's a prominent place on the schedule. It's also, a somewhat significant game. It's Solomon Hill's, return to Indiana. It's his only trip there. A guy who played for the Pacers and then signed with the Pelicans. And, that's not exactly Kevin Durant going back to Oklahoma City, but I'm sure it's significant for him. More significant, I think, for the Pelicans, it's the last game of a five-game road trip, and that five-game road swing is the longest of the season. So how are they handling that at that point? Kind of a quirky thing. They'll play an afternoon game in Chicago on Saturday and then that afternoon game on Monday in Indy. So back-to-back afternoon games, which is pretty unusual in the NBA. And the Pelicans, you may recall, were not great in the afternoon this past season, particularly on Christmas. They were extremely bad. But that's a game, obviously, because that's a highlight of the NBA schedule. That's a game that you definitely want to check out. Another game that kind of jumped out at me, the fourth game, as I was kind of looking through the schedule, at Oklahoma City on February 26th. And the reason that stands out, one, Oklahoma City is another one of those teams, like we talked about, that you're going to have to beat to be in the playoff picture. And I'm a little higher probably on Oklahoma City than maybe some people are. I still think that they're going to be comfortably in the playoffs. I don't expect them to be at the very bottom of the playoff picture, but they have some problems. They without Kevin Durant, their floor spacing is obviously dramatically different. They're going to be relying on Russell Westbrook an awful lot. So they're going to be an interesting team to watch. I think a game on the road there in February when we'll start to have a sense, I think, really of where the Pelicans are. But that's also part of a three-game stretch, I think, that looks significant because that's the second game of a back-to-back. They're in Dallas on the 25th. They play at Oklahoma City the next night. On the 23rd of February, They're at home against Houston, and that actually is the first visit to New Orleans for Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon. So, you know, it just looks like a significant three-game stretch as you look at it on paper. Maybe the Pelicans are comfortably in the playoffs. Maybe they're well out of it by then. But looking at it, looking ahead, trying to project, I think that's a game, February 26th at Oklahoma City, that I would circle. Finally, I had a hard time picking the final one because, you know, there are a ton of things you could sort of circle. The first time Ben Simmons comes to town, the first time the Knicks, because they're so different, and, you know, Langston Galloway's old team, the first time Dwayne Wade comes here, that's very late in the season, but Dwayne Wade playing for somebody else, playing for the Bulls, is very odd. But it was very hard to look late in the season and get a great feel for a game where you say, where's a game late in the year where I could watch that game and have a great sense of where the Pelicans are going to be? And what I settled on for that was March 27th at Utah. That to me is a game, you know, Utah's going to be in the playoffs. I think that's going to be a team that's comfortably in the playoffs. And I think by that point in the season, they will be comfortably in the playoffs. So I think that's a good road test for one. You know, that's a game, it's a TNT game on the 27th of March. And it also, I think, is a great barometer to circle right now and say, looking forward, where are the Pelicans going to be on March 27th? Where are they going to be in the playoff picture? That's very late in the season. And how are they going to be competing against a great defensive team like Utah? The second game of a back-to-back, they're in Denver the night before. You're really coming down the stretch. And so, to me, if you're saying, give me some games that are snapshot games, that's one to me. Let's see where they are on the 27th of March at Utah. Where is this team? What is this team? Is it competing for a playoff berth? That's the last of those five games that, as I kind of just ran through the schedule, really jumped out at me. I promised you some organized thoughts on the schedule, and these aren't maybe as organized as I had hoped they would be. I have a few notes, though, so that's a step in the right direction. The other thing I wanted to talk about, the last thing I wanted to talk about, was how tough the schedule is. When I first glanced at it, and look, you know, it's an NBA schedule. You're playing the 29 other teams. If you're a Western Conference team like the Pelicans, you're playing the Eastern Conference teams twice. But a lot of the difficulty of your schedule then is based on, you know, outside of your division, who do you play four times? Who do you play three times? That plays a big part. Looking at the schedule, just kind of taking a quick pass at it, it didn't seem unmanageable. It didn't seem brutal. There are tough parts of it. There's a stretch in February where they play 9 of 12 games on the road. You know, there's 21 times they play three games in four nights. They don't have any 4-5s. You know, they don't have a road stretch longer than five games, as we talked about earlier. They do have 17 back-to-backs. 9 of those are away. And that's pretty tough to have 9 of your 17 be back-to-back road games. So, you know, when I looked at it, I thought, it looks tough. It doesn't look unmanageable. I didn't have a great sense just, you know, glancing at it, where it sort of stacked up compared to everybody else's. Fortunately, Jared Dubin, who hosts Locked On Knicks and has been a guest on this podcast and was a great guest, posted a bunch of numbers on Thursday night, schedule numbers based on it's basically a strength of schedule ranking based on the opponent's one-loss record last season, and then also based on a Pythagorean expectation for last season's record, which is basically just saying, based on how many points you scored and how many points you allowed, what should your record have been? So just based on one loss record last year, the Pelicans have the fifth toughest schedule in the league. That surprised me looking at it, but it shouldn't come as a great shock. You're playing San Antonio, you're playing Golden State, they had great records. You know, based on the Pythagorean expectation, it's the sixth toughest. So not much different. You know, it's a tough schedule. It's, you know, it's a top five or six, depending on your preferred method, toughest schedule. It's gets a little bit easier as it goes along, not dramatically, because the one loss record stuff is basically the same pre-All-Star and post-All-Star. But the months, it averages out a little bit. The months are much harder before the All-Star game. You know, it's only the 15th hardest, middle of the pack, in October, November. All these are Jared's numbers, by the way. So I want to give Jared all the credit, because math, not my strong suit. But then it's the fourth hardest December and the fourth hardest January. And then from then, February is the 25th hardest, March is the 17th, April's the 16th. And so it's a schedule that, you know, it sets you up to maybe make a push late if you can kind of hang around. But for a team like the Pelicans that goes in without a lot of expectations, especially from the outside, that's going to be so different looking, and is going to go in really, frankly, with a coach and a general manager, excuse me, who are on the hot seat. You go into a season where your December and January are the fourth toughest in the NBA. That creates some potential fireworks. You know, what's going to happen if the Pelicans get off to a bad start? What's the vibe going to be like around the team? What's the vibe going to be like in the city? How much pressure is there going to be on this team? It's so funny to think about a year ago, thinking about the Pelicans maybe getting off to a fast start, maybe really cementing their place in New Orleans, getting everybody really excited. Now we're talking about, or I'm talking about, what's it going to be like if they get off to a terrible start? That's something to watch. It's going to be an interesting thing to watch. December and January are going to be pretty fascinating months. But again, if you look at it, it's not like the schedule gets easy in the second half, but it gets easier. If the Pelicans are a little better than we expect, if that defense is much improved, and they can just kind of, you know, stay in the game through the All-Star break, then you got a chance to make a little bit of a move. And if you're in striking distance, maybe make a playoff push. So, you know, it's going to be a really interesting year. I've said a million times, this is a mysterious team. It's a team I really, really am interested to see. I can't wait to see kind of what they look like, just how they play, what the offense does, how much better the defense is. All that stuff's going to be fascinating, and the schedule really underscores, I think, how important the early part of the season is. So it's going to be really, really fun to watch. It's going to be fun to talk about, too, on the podcast, and we're not too far removed from getting back into a daily schedule. We won't wait till the start of camp. We'll be close to that by the time we do that, but we'll have a lot of preview-type stuff. You know, just in the weeks leading up, the days leading up to camp. Hoping again in these offseason podcasts to be a little more guest heavy than I've been. Again, I apologize just for the scheduling stuff. It's been a challenge. I don't want to name any guests because, again, I have talked to people and I've got some things I hope lined up, but things fall through all the time because it's just so tough to get everything. It's tough to work out schedules. So whoever is here and wherever I am podcasting from, I will be here talking about the Pelicans next week. I hope you will be too.